ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। As I was mentioning earlier that Anutama Prabhu and Rasamandala Prabhu, the organizers of this Guru Leadership Seminar, wanted to set a certain mood and certain objective about this seminar, and that's why they insisted that I give the class this morning. I was telling Anuttama Prabhu that he put me on the spot last night. He was requesting me. I would have preferred to give a class later on, but I can also understand their objective. They have come here, or they had been organizing these seminars with a specific objective. And the objective is to understand Srila Prabhupada's mission and the objective of Srila Prabhupada's establishing the institution of ISKCON and the responsibility that the devotees of ISKCON, especially the leading devotees of ISKCON, have to steer ISKCON through the troubled water in order to achieve the mission of Srila Prabhupada and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is why today I selected a specific verse, which is not the regular verse that we are, a regular Bhagavatam class that we are following. This verse has been taken from the 11th canto, the 5th chapter, which is describing the different yuga dharmas of different yugas, and the specific yuga dharma of the age of Kali, and the purpose of Krishna's coming as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So most of you, I presume, know this verse, and this verse Prabhupada elaborately explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Lila, chapter 3. He gave an extensive purport, and that purport also has been presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the verse actually appears in the 11th canto. Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 5, Narad's teachings to Vasudev, text 32. Krishna Varnam Dvisha Krishnam Sanga Pangastra Parshadam Yajyai Sankirtana Prayai Yajanti Hi Sumedhasaha. Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sanga Pangastra Parshadam Yagai Sankirtana Prayai Yajantihi Sumedhasaha Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sanga Pangastra Parshadam Yagai Sankirtana Prayai Yajantihi Sumedhasaha Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sangapangasprakasham Yagai Sankirtanapraya Yajantihi Sumedhasaha Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sangapangasprakasham Yagai Sankirtanapraya Yajantihi Sumedhasaha
Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam
Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam
Sangopangastra Parshadam
Yagai
Sankirtanapraya
Yagai Sankirtanapraya
Matajis.
Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam.
Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam.
Sanga Pangastra Parshadam.
Yagai Sankirtana Praya.
Yajantihi Sumedhasaha. Krishna Varnam.
Krishna Varnam.
Repeating the syllables Krishna. Tvisha with a luster. Akrishnam, not black, golden. Sa-anga, along with associates. Upanga, servitors. Astra, weapons. Parshadam, confidential companions. Yagyai, by sacrifice. Sankirtana Prayai, consisting chiefly of congregational chanting. Yajanti, they worship. He, certainly. Sumedhasaha, intelligent persons. Translation. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Please repeat. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish,
he is Krishna himself.
He is accompanied by his associates,
he is accompanied by his
servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Purport. This same verse is quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila chapter 3 verse 52. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has given the following commentary on this verse. This is verbatim purport of Srila Prabhupada. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his commentary on the Bhagavatam known as Krama Sandarbha, wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears with a golden complexion. The golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. That is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Garga Muni, who said that although the child Krishna was blackish, he also appears in three other colors, red, white and yellow. He exhibited his white and red complexions in Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga, respectively. He did not exhibit the remaining color, yellow gold, until he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who is known as Gaura Hari. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Krishna Varnam means Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam and Krishna Chaitanya are equivalent. The name Krishna appears with both Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he always engages in describing Krishna and thus enjoying transcendental bliss by chanting and remembering his name and form. Lord Krishna himself appears as Lord Chaitanya to preach the highest gospel. Varnayati means utters or describes. Lord Chaitanya always chants the holy name of Krishna and describes it also. And because he is Krishna himself, whoever meets him will automatically chant the holy name of Krishna and later describe it to others. He injects one with transcendental Krishna consciousness, which merges the chanter in transcendental bliss. In all respects, therefore, he appears before everyone as Krishna, either by personality or by sound. Simply by seeing Lord Chaitanya, one at once remembers Lord Krishna. One may therefore accept him as Vishnu Tattva. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself. Sanga Pangastra Parshadam further indicates that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. His body is always decorated with ornaments of sandalwood and the sandalwood pest. By his super excellent beauty, he subdues all the people of the age. In other descents, the Lord sometimes used weapons to defeat the demoniac, but in this age the Lord subdues them with his all-attractive figure as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that his beauty is his astra or weapon to subdue the demons. Because he is all-attractive, it is to be understood that all the demigods lived with him as his companions. His acts were uncommon and his associates wonderful. When he propagated the Sankirtan movement, he attracted many great scholars and acharyas, especially in Bengal and Orissa. Lord Chaitanya is always accompanied by his best associates like Lord Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar and Srivash. Srila Jiva Goswami cites a verse from the Vedic literature that says that there is no necessity of performing sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. He comments that instead of engaging in such external pompous exhibitions, all people, regardless of caste, color or creed, can assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam indicates that prominence should be given to the name Krishna. Lord Chaitanya taught Krishna consciousness and chanted the name of Krishna. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya, everyone should together chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To propagate worship in churches, temples or mosques is not possible because people have lost interest in that. But anywhere and everywhere people can chant Hare Krishna, thus worshipping Lord Chaitanya. They can perform the highest activity and fulfill the highest religious purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a famous disciple of Lord Chaitanya, said, "The principle of transcendental devotional service having been lost, Sri Krishna Chaitanya has appeared to deliver again the process of devotion. He is so kind that he is distributing love of Krishna. Everyone should be attracted more and more to his lotus feet, as humming bees are attracted to a lotus flower." The incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also described in the Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, which appears in chapter 189 of the Danadharma Parva of Mahabharata. Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted this reference as follows: Shuvarna Varna Himango Varangash Chandanangadi. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful and his body smeared with pulp of sandalwood seems like molten gold. He has also quoted Sannasa Krit Chamo Shanto Nishtha Shanti Parayanaha. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishthang Sthapitang Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupang Sagrajatang Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Dwam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Nitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranam Mami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sangapangastra Parshadam Yagai Sankirtana Prayair Jajantihi Sumedhasaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So, in the age of Kali, Krishna's appearance is very different from his other incarnations. In other incarnations, he comes as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he establishes the Yuga Dharma, Dharma Sangsthapanarthaya, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. But in the age of Kali, Krishna has assumed a very special feature. He appeared as a devotee. This is the only time the Lord actually appears as a devotee. In all other incarnations, he assumes his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether it is as a fish or a tortoise or Narsimha or Vamana, everyone could recognize him. His identity is that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in this age, he came in a very, very special way. He came as a devotee. And although in other ages, he establishes a Yuga Dharma, and he establishes the Yuga Dharma, he establishes the dharmic principles, and practically the Satya Yuga is established soon after his appearance. Even though he appears in other ages, in different ages, but during his appearance the Vaikuntha atmosphere is established. But in this incarnation, because of the age of Kali, is such a difficult period, he made an arrangement that the Yuga Dharma would continue through a very, very wonderful means, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. And the process also is very unique. We see that in other ages, the Lord appears and he establishes Yuga Dharma, and those who follow the principles of Dharma or those who want to follow the spiritual path, they would generally leave home, go to the ashram, especially in the renounced aspect of life, brahmachari life, vanaprastha life, or sannyas life. And singularly, individually, they would pursue the process of achieving Krishna consciousness. They would leave home, go to the forest, or go to the mountain caves. Sometimes they would even go underwater and perform the process of Krishna consciousness. Not exactly dharma. The ultimate goal of dharma is Krishna consciousness, becoming absorbed in the thoughts of the Lord and his pastimes. But in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu created another very special process of Krishna consciousness. It's a collective process. In other ages, it was an individual process. One used to decide himself, well, I will take to the process. And he would leave home, he would go to the ashram of his guru and get trained up, and then he would practice the process. But in this age, Mahaprabhu made a collective arrangement. And all these arrangements of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is specially befitting to the very, very difficult situation of the age of Kali. We have to understand the age of Kali is the age of Adharma. The ruler of this age is Kali, and Kali's business is to establish Adharma. Another name of Kali is Adharma Bandhu. He is the friend of Adharma. He is the friend of irreligiosity personified. He is the friend of evil personified. And his business is to establish him in the throne of this age. Krishna comes to establish dharma, and Kali has come to establish adharma. So it's a very difficult situation. Kali is the ruler of this age. He has the control of this age. Krishna has made arrangement. Okay, Kali, this is your time. You can do whatever you want. The whole world is yours. But at the same time, he came to establish the Yuga Dharma, to counteract the influence of Kali. And it's a very, very unique, very special arrangement that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made. Once Prabhupada commented, because the disease of this age, the disease of the people of this age is so difficult that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to come with the most potent medicine and the most effective application of that medicine. And that medicine is Harir Nama Eva Kevalam. And emphatically it has been established, Kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranata. Besides this Harir Naam, besides the holy name, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. And this application of the medicine also has been made in another very special way. In the other ages, the religious practices were actually performed, or only the very qualified people could perform those activities. Like, one had to come to the platform of a Brahmana to study the Vedas and follow the Vedas, or at least one had to be a Kshatriya, or sometimes the Vaishyas also got the second initiation or Diksha. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Jai Shri Radha Madan Mohan Lalita Vishakha Devi ki jai, Jai Shri Gaurita ki jai. But in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this process, the Yuga Dharma, available for everyone. Everyone, irrespective of caste, creed, and as Prabhupada mentioned, color. Irrespective of caste, color, and creed. So anybody and everybody has the prerogative to participate in this particular Yuga Dharma. In the other ages, generally the Brahmanas would perform the Vedic activities and guide the other members of the society into that. The Kshatriyas would implement the will of the Brahmanas, establishing the religious principles. It was the responsibility of the Kshatriya to see that the Yuga Dharma is properly established, the rulers, the administrators. But we see in the age of Kali, that system also has been demolished, abolished. There is no ruler. The Vedic principle is actually monarchy. The Kshatriya ruler would rule over the entire earth planet. But Kali has done away with that system also, and he established democracy. Rule of the people, by the people, of the people, for the people. People has become powerful. Though there is no room for one individual to establish his authority in a proper way as a king. In the age of democracy, it's practically impossible. And we are seeing that gradually the world is becoming more and more democratic, and that the system of monarchy is done away with. And also, there was reasons when, because the Kshatriyas were not following the authority of the Brahmanas, the kings, the rulers became independent, they became tyrannical, they became tyrants, they became despots, completely independent, they wouldn't accept anybody's authority. And they would do whatever they would want to do. There was no consideration of following the scriptural injunctions and the guidance of the Brahmanas. So in this way we can see the Kali Yuga is a very, very difficult age. And on top of everything, people have become extremely sinful. This is the age of sin. That's another accomplice of Kali. One of Kali's most intimate associates is sin personified, Papa. And all kinds of wrong activities, lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, pride. Those who are the enemies of spiritual progress, they are actually Kali's associates. So we are in a very difficult age, and the situation has become very, very degraded and very, very dangerous. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with a very unique mission to establish dharma in the age of adharma. And he accepted a very special means to do that. To ward off the influence of Kali in the form of democracy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented congregational chanting. Yes, a democratic way of spiritual advancement. Everyone get together and chant. And the process is so simple, just chant. There is no need for any elaborate arrangements. No need, and there is no question of performing the spiritual activities through meditation. In order to meditate, one, as I was saying, like one has to go to the forest or go to the mountain caves. People are totally unqualified for that. There is no possibility of performing yajna and achieve perfection in the yajna so that Yajneshwar Vishnu would appear from the sacrificial fire and bestow his mercy upon the performers and the participants. And in this age, even deity worship has become difficult. But he gave the unique process. Just chant the holy name and make spiritual advancement. And the process is so simple, we simply have to chant. Now sometimes devotees wonder like, oh, my chanting is not attentive, my mind wanders. And my response to that is, don't worry about that, just chant. If you just chant, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will see that, well, he is a good person. He is obedient to me. I told him to chant and he is chanting and he'll be pleased with that. And ultimately he will bestow his mercy upon us. So all we have to do is simply follow the process that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. And in this age, Prabhupada used the expression for weapon. Prabhupada actually used a plural number. Although he is explaining that the weapon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is his beauty. But Prabhupada used a plural number in that because the other aspects of this weapon also is, besides his physical beauty, is his love. With love he is killing the demons. That's another aspect of the astra. And another aspect of the astra is the holy name itself. Holy name himself, rather. This holy name will destroy the demons. And the demoniac propensities, the demoniac tendencies. We saw in Mahaprabhu's pastime, the Muslims, even if they chanted the name, even if they uttered the name, not chanted, uttered the name, jokingly or whimsically, they got the effect. Like when Chand Kazi called his soldiers, he found that some of them are constantly chanting Hare Krishna. He asked them, what happened? And they said, well, we just told these Hindus that Hare Krishna, and I can't stop chanting it myself. So this is the power of the holy name. It will purify us even in the stage of Nam Abhash. In the clearing stage of chanting, we'll derive this very special benefit of chanting the holy name. And this astra, we can see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left behind. Krishna comes with astra. He kills the demons with his astra. Krishna comes in different incarnations, like he himself used the disc and mace and sometimes his sword also to kill the demons. With as Narahari, Nrisingadev, he used his nail as his weapon. Nakham Adbhuta Shringam. And these astras, when he leaves, he takes the astra with him. But in this age, this astra he left behind. Because the demoniac influence will be so prominent that he has to keep this astra behind. And for his devotees to keep using it against the demons. But again, this astra is not inducing violence. This astra is actually inducing love. The naam and prem are synonymous. Naam prem. The holy name and Krishna prem are synonymous. You take the mercy of the holy name, you will get Krishna prem. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with Sangha, Upanga, Astra and Parshad. He established the process of congregational chanting of the holy name. And then he also made a wonderful prediction. That prediction is that this movement will spread all over the world, which he himself did not do. He spread the holy name very effectively all over India. But he made the prediction that prithivite ache jato nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoibe mor naam. In every town and village, this holy name will spread. And he made that prediction at a time when people did not even know how many continents were there in this planet. What to speak of towns and villages. And then another unique thing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we notice that soon after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, his teaching and his dham disappeared. His teaching disappeared due to the influence of the upper sampradayas. So all kinds of apasiddhanta appeared in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All kinds of abominable activities, all kinds of sinful activities were going on in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time. And in this way, his teachings got lost. And not only his teaching, his dham got lost. That's why today there is this confusion. The Prachin Mayapur. Like, on the other side of the river, people have come up with all kinds of places and claiming that this is Mayapur, this is Advaita Acharya's house, this is Sachimata's house and so forth. Jagannath Mishra's house. But then, because the places were lost, Mahaprabhu's places of pastimes were lost, all these kinds of things have come up. All kinds of concocted concept that this is, these are the places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But then, when Mahaprabhu's teaching and Mahaprabhu's dham practically disappeared, then came Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And he considered that this description, these places do not really line up with the descriptions of the scriptures, like Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Ratnakar, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Because they're describing that the Mayapur, the birthplace where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace in Navadvip, is on the eastern bank of the river Ganges. But this place is on the western bank of the river Ganges. He also considered that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his Sankirtan movement to subdue Chatkazi, then there was no description of crossing the river. So he began to wonder, like, what's actually the matter? And then he found out that these are all false claims of places of Mahaprabhu's pastime. The actual place of Mahaprabhu's pastime is what he discovered. And he reconfirmed it. He had a dream, he had a vision, and he saw Mayapur, the city of Mayapur, just appeared in front of him. And he did not just accept it that must be the place because he had a vision, but he reconfirmed it with Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, the most exalted Vaishnava of that time, Vaishnava Sarvabhauma, the most exalted Vaishnava of that time, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He was 140 years old at that time, couldn't move. People used to carry him on a basket if he had to go to some place. But that Jagannath Babaji Maharaj came, who couldn't even stand up. He jumped out of his seat and started to dance in ecstasy, jumping 5-6 feet high in the sky and saying that this is the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And that's why Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's pranam mantra says, Gauravir bhava bhumestam nirdeshta shajjana kriya. The exalted saintly personality who identified the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So in this way Bhaktivinoda Thakur rediscovered Mahaprabhu's places of pastimes. Due to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Mahaprabhu's places of pastimes on Navadvip and Mayapur became manifest once again. And it is through Bhaktivinoda Thakur that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings also had been revived. And in this way, the revival of Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement started again. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then Srila Prabhupada. It's a gradual progression. Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and established the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took it out and spread it and established it all over India. And he planted the seed of spreading it all over the world. And then Srila Prabhupada appeared, Srila Prabhupada came, and he spread it all over the world in such a miraculous way. Within a short span of 10 years' time, he spread this movement all over the world. An inconceivable achievement. No one can even imagine how it could have happened. And then Prabhupada also recognized the importance of establishing an institution. And not only Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also recognized the importance of an institution to achieve that mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world and establishing it in every town and village. They realized that such an achievement cannot be accomplished by one person in one lifetime. Therefore, and to continue it, there is a need for an institution. Therefore, we see Bhaktivinoda Thakur so emphatically establishing the importance of Namhat, the congregational structure of an institution. A spiritual structure he gave in the form of his Namhat. That is the blueprint that he gave. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took that and established that concept in the form of Gauriya Math. And unfortunately, that structure fell apart. And then Prabhupada came and he revived the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the form of ISKCON. It is not different institution. It is actually a continuity of the same institution. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Namhat, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Gauriya Math has ultimately taken the shape of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So all of them recognize the importance of the institution and maintaining the institution. Because in order to continue, the institution is necessary. Without an institution, we cannot possibly establish Krishna consciousness all over the world. Sometimes we hear that some individuals express their concern or even their criticism on structured religion. Having what's the expression? Organized religion. But unless and until we have this organization, unless and until we have a structure, we won't be able to continue this mission. We have seen, that's why what happened in Gauriamath is actually so important to note. Like Gauriamath's disintegration actually established a very, very important message, very important understanding and principle. And that principle is, again, Prabhupada pointed out, why Gauriamath fell apart? Prabhupada was very vocal about that. Although Prabhupada was a perfect Vaishnava, he never really wanted to criticize anybody. But for our benefit, Prabhupada was vocal about that. And Prabhupada pointed out that why it fell apart, Gauriamath fell apart, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur emphatically told them to manage the society collectively through a GBC body. He established the principle of collective management. But some leading devotees, they considered how can a religious organization be managed by a group of managers. So it must have an acharya. So they appointed an acharya, and when the acharya had spiritual difficulty, the structure collapsed. And Prabhupada pointed out that don't make the same mistake that my godbrothers made after Guru Maharaj's disappearance. Don't make the same mistake. And what was the mistake? The mistake was that they did not follow this concept of collective management through GBC. And Prabhupada was so emphatic about establishing the GBC. When he established ISKCON, he established this concept of the governing body commission. What the principle actually stands for? It stands for a collective management. And we have seen the benefit of it. Like today, ISKCON, I would say, is still going strong because ISKCON is following this concept of collective management through GBC. We have seen, like many stalwart leaders of our movement had spiritual difficulty. They left. Although that caused a lot of damage to the society, but the society remained together. Why? Because some individuals may have spiritual difficulties and left. But the concept of collective management was there, which was holding the society together. And Prabhupada again emphatically pointed out the GBC is the ultimate managing authority. Ultimate managing authority. And even when he was present on this planet, he identified himself as a part of the GBC. He placed himself within the GBC. He didn't place himself above the GBC. In this way, Prabhupada actually established the principle, no matter how powerful you are, no matter how exalted you are, you have to function under the GBC. And there lies the secret of our success. If we want to see an effective, successful institution to spread, to continue Srila Prabhupada's mission, then we have to have a very strong and powerful collective management system. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada not only created an institution that spread all over the world, but Srila Prabhupada has secured it in a way that it will continue to perform as long as we don't deviate from his system that he gave. And we also can consider another aspect, like as I was mentioning about the previous ages and this age of Kali. The difference is the previous ages, it was a personal affair. One's spiritual advancement was one's personal affair. He had to leave home. go to the Guru and get trained by the Guru in his ashram, and the Guru would have his ashram, a few disciples he would be training there, which is like an institution, small institution. They also had an institution, but the tradition used to be that the Guru would hand over the institution to a successor. Like they would appoint a successor acharya, or other disciples could go and they could start their own ashrams. But the general norm was to appoint a successor. But we notice one thing, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not do that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not want to appoint any acharya, appoint any successor. He rather emphasized the collective management through the GPC body. And when they appointed an acharya, after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, thinking that this is the tradition, they made the biggest blunder. And the result was the institution collapsed. Now Prabhupada also was naturally emphatic about that. Sometimes devotees asked, devotees also thought. They were also not aware of this consideration of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. I heard when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was about to leave the planet, many devotees actually thought that Prabhupada would appoint a successor. And they used to speculate, maybe Prabhupada would appoint him, or maybe Prabhupada would appoint him. But what was Prabhupada's response to that? Prabhupada's response was that my Guru Maharaj didn't appoint any acharya, how can I appoint an acharya? How can I appoint a successor? Few days before Srila Prabhupada left the planet, two very important persons came to see Srila Prabhupada. Sriman Narayan, he was the ex-governor of Madras, and Ramakrishna Bajaj, the head of the Bajaj Industries. And they asked Srila Prabhupada who would be his successor. And Prabhupada said that, no, I'm not going to appoint any successor. He said, I give the legacy to all my disciples. And whoever carries my instruction, he will carry the legacy. Whoever follows, Prabhupada used the expression, whoever follows will have the legacy. So the secret of carrying Srila Prabhupada's legacy is, we simply have to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. If we do that, that is what's going to qualify us to be Prabhupada's, to carry Prabhupada's legacy. And he said, naturally, the continuity must be there. But the continuity won't come through an appointment. It will come through the qualification, and performance, achievement and accomplishments. And we notice there was an understanding that Prabhupada appointed some individuals. But in course of time we saw that, no, that was not true. Prabhupada did not appoint anybody. Because we see that most of them actually had spiritual difficulties. Now, can you imagine, or can we possibly imagine, if Prabhupada appointed an individual, and if that individual had spiritual difficulty, what would have happened to ISKCON? Now, if one leader had spiritual difficulty, it would have caused such a damage to the institution. But today, although quite a few of them had spiritual difficulty, ISKCON is still going strong. What is actually protecting ISKCON? ISKCON is being protected by this concept of the collective management through the governing body commission. And that's why we also have to see that no one actually becomes more powerful than the collective body that Prabhupada has, the concept that Srila Prabhupada gave. We have seen sometimes with some individuals become very powerful, but the result is when they had spiritual difficulty, what a damage it caused. And (clears throat) So now, the last thing that, last two points I would just briefly consider is, one is, the Sankirtan movement has been identified as a Jagya. Now, the English translation of the word Jagya is sacrifice. What is sacrifice? Sacrifice means something that I'm claiming to be mine, I offer it. That's the meaning of sacrifice. So the consideration that is left with the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is how and what they're going to sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice they're going to make. What are they going to do towards pushing this movement forward? So here we are left with two considerations. Are you going to take from the movement, or are you going to give to the movement? If you are taking from the institution, then we are actually becoming a burden. We are not assisting, we are not helping, we are not making a sacrifice. We are actually extracting. But the other consideration is what we are going to do to enhance this movement, to further this mission, to propagate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. What kind of sacrifice are you going to make? What are you going to achieve? What are you going to offer? So, those who want to take an active role in this movement must be motivated by this concept of sacrifice. What am I going to offer? That reminds me, John F. Kennedy's speech, the first speech he gave after he became the president. Don't ask what America is going to do for you. What you are going to do for America. So our consideration shouldn't be what ISKCON is going to do for us, but what are we going to do for ISKCON? And there lies the secret of our success. What kind of sacrifice we are going to make to spread this Sankirtan movement all over the world? And the greater our sacrifice, the bigger will be our contribution to this movement, the propagation of this movement. There lies the leadership quality of a leader. What does a leader do? What is a leader? Who is a leader? Who leads to achieve the mission? During Prabhupada's time, we noticed like the movement was spreading in such wonderful speed, in leaps and bounds, the movement was spreading. Because the devotees are going out to different corners of the world and trying to spread this movement, establish this movement. And Prabhupada gave them the recognition. The more one achieved, Prabhupada rewarded them with his mercy. And my observation is that after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, that spirit has been very much affected. Like that spirit of going out and doing things to spread this movement is somehow lacking. So if we really want to push this movement forward, the devotees who want to do something for Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement must go out, do things to spread this movement. And that is how the movement is going to grow. We have to think of different ways and means to spread this movement. That's what was happening during Srila Prabhupada's times. I remember, like there's one boy, he was only about 17 or 18 years old, one American boy. Anyway, his name is Khudi Prabhu. And he was thinking that in Mayapur, he was seeing that Prabhupada was giving so much credit and so much appreciation to the leading devotees who have gone out and achieved things for him in different parts of the world. And he was thinking what he could do. And he saw the map and he saw the whole world has been taken over. Devotees have gone to different places. And he saw the only place that was left was Africa. And he decided to go to South Africa. And that 17, 18 year old boy actually started the Sankirtan movement in South Africa. He lives in Laguna Beach now. Probably many of you know him. Very unassuming devotee. But because of that spirit, he wanted to do something to achieve Srila Prabhupada's appreciation. He decided to go out and do something. And he went and told Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I want to go to South Africa and preach." And South Africa was a very difficult place actually at that time because it was under the apartheid rule. The government there would not allow any foreign thing to come in and jeopardize their system. But Prabhupada gave his blessing, and Prabhupada actually told one sannyasi, Pushta Krishna, that you go with him. And these two persons just went and started the movement there. So that was the spirit. Go out and do things to push Mahaprabhu's movement forward. So, as I mentioned at the beginning of the class, that I am giving this class with a specific objective dictated by Anuttama Prabhu and Rasamandala Prabhu. And so that's why I decided to discuss about these few aspects of Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Any comment or question? Yes, Anuttama Prabhu.
Sacrifices that we all have to make as individuals. Could you speak for a minute about, are there specific unique sacrifices that spiritual leaders or need to make in the Prabhupada that are different in other historical circumstances? We're all sacrificing things as individuals, because they are a unique concept within the psyche of spiritual leadership as well. Needs to be sacrificed.
You see, in a spiritual institution, like I would say most other institutions, the two main assets are actually men and money. So when it comes to sacrifice, we have to consider as leaders, when you have access to men and money, how effectively we are going to utilize them for the betterment of ISKCON. That should be the sacrifice. Like one phenomena that I can say, that one tendency that can become quite prevalent. Say, the gurus go out, give initiation. And the disciples, in a way, become their property. Diksha gurus, you know, it's a kind of a culture we have developed in ISKCON. Maybe there's another traditional thing, you know. Like the disciples are guru's property, disciples look up to the guru as the mainstay for the spiritual advancement. And now the consideration should be how effectively the gurus are going to use their disciples for the betterment of ISKCON, for the benefit of ISKCON. Like often what happens is that the devotees actually make the decision. They make the local devotees in some area, they make the devotees. Right. And they train, they cultivate them, they recruit them, they cultivate them, they train them. But then a guru comes, the individuals get attracted to the guru who doesn't actually commit himself. I mean, he doesn't really belong to that particular area, but ISKCON has a standard of gurus can give initiation anywhere. And sometimes we run the risk, sometimes we have seen, like after getting initiation, those individuals lose their allegiance to the local temple. And, you know, they become the guru's property. And this is a big loss for our movement. And if it continues, the growth will be very badly affected and hampered. So this is one sacrifice the leaders have to make. That the disciples are not my property. My disciples are ISKCON's property. They're Prabhupada's property. And how effectively, and I am a representative of Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON to guide them into the engagement, into the engagement for the benefit of the institution, for the benefit of the society. So personally I feel that these are the sacrifices we have to make. As gurus we get dakshin, money. Now how we are going to utilize that for the benefit of ISKCON, that should be our consideration. So, give you a very basic understanding of that concept. Yes?
We might ask this point that previously they thought that how can a movement be managed by managers? There should be an acharya. Sometimes we hear this criticism that how can sannyasis or someone in the renounced order be a manager? So how this combination of management and sannyas or any other renounced order, how is that very naturally combinable
You see, after I got sannyas, after Prabhupada gave me sannyas, one day I was asking Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, why don't you follow this gradual standard of progress of sannyas order, Kutichak, Bahudhak, Paribrajak, Paramahamsa. And Prabhupada said that actually our sannyas is meant for offering the body, mind, words, everything for the propagation of Krishna consciousness, for preaching. So our sannyas is very different actually. Prabhupada himself mentions in some purports that the sannyas order that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu practiced, we are not actually following even that standard. Our sannyas is meant for enhancing Mahaprabhu's mission. That is the purpose of our sannyas. Give up all attachment to be completely engaged in the service of Krishna. Our sannyas is devotional sannyas. And what is devotional service? Devotional service is whatever is necessary, we are prepared to do that. That's the difference between Varnashram order and Vaishnav culture. Varnasam order, they would stick to their own dharma. A Brahman would act only like a Brahman. Kshatriya would act only like Kshatriya, generally. But Vaishnav, whatever is necessary, we are prepared to do that. If for the sake of service to Krishna I have to sweep the street, I will do that. Like that's why people sometimes, there was some big misunderstanding about King of Odisha sweeping the street in front of Lord Jagannath. Like one king was about to offer his daughter in marriage to the King of Odisha. And when he found out that he was sweeping the street, he actually told that I am not going to offer my daughter to a sweeper. Because according to the Varnashram consideration, you know, king never sweeps the street. It's the job of a sweeper. But a Vaishnav consideration is completely different. Whatever is necessary, I'll do it. sweep the street, worship the deity in the temple, we can do at the same time. So whatever is necessary, whatever is needed in ISKCON, we are prepared to do that. Yes, as a sannyasi we don't like to manage. But if there is a need, what to do? When there is a fire in your house, do you consider that whether it is your duty to carry water in a bucket to extinguish the fire? You just go out and do whatever is necessary. So that is the mood of a devotee. Whatever is necessary, you are prepared to do that. So the thing is that if there is a qualified person capable of managing the institution or the temple or whatever, yeah, sure, let him do it. Let him do it. But if there is a crisis situation, if there is not enough householders to take up the responsibility, then let the sannyasis take up the responsibility. Right. Another thing is, in ISKCON, what is actually the role of a sannyasi? The role of a sannyasi is that of a leader. It's a spiritual institution, and a sannyasi is a spiritual leader. And he should lead in what? He should lead towards engaging and inspiring his followers to enhance Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. So whoever does that is a leader, irrespective of whether he is a sannyasi or a brahmachari or a grihastha or vanaprastha. The leader must lead his followers towards achieving the goal. And in order to do that, there are two very important things are motivation and facilitation. The leaders must motivate the followers and leaders must facilitate the followers. If you motivate but don't facilitate, then how will they achieve? How will they get anything done? Like if a soldier in the front line has to also try to arrange his ammunition and food and medical, how is he going to fight the battle? So who takes care of that supply? It's a general that makes arrangement that, oh, these people are fighting in these fronts, so supply them with all the ammunition and arms, all the weapons, all the medical supply, all the food, and then the soldiers fight. So that's why in achieving something we have the facilitation is the most important thing. Yes, pardon.
Gurus, I have a question. Why is this so? Because people pray and...
What happened? Maybe I'll answer it some other time. Huh? Because it's not in relation to today's class and it's already quite late.
Huh? So what's the other question about this class?
Yeah.
The frequency has made is love, Krishna prayer, love and Hari Nam, and the third one is beauty of the Lord. So how can we understand that beauty is a vampire? Because we cannot see that it's not from face to face. So how can we...
Yeah. So that's why we should take advantage of the holy name. And when you chant the holy name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will appear. When you purely chant the holy name, Mahaprabhu will appear and he'll see the beauty. Okay. So I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.